everybody, and welcome to the RUScreening.com podcast. I am your host, RUScreening.com's own Mark Eastman, and with me as always is co-host extraordinaire Shane Leonard.
Hello.
And this week, we're going to be doing Jack Reacher, Never Go Back.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which I knew that was going to be your reaction.
Yeah,
I knew you were going to do that.
Man.
I was going to say something other than Doctor Strange, and you were going to lose it.
Right.
No, I'm not prepared. I don't know what you're talking about. What movie is that?
Man, we missed a couple We missed a couple weeks, and I think that was...
Yeah, we...
One was definitely my fault, and then I'll blame you for the other one. I don't know.
Right. No, it's just really Jack Reacher, right? And then
we were going to see Inferno.
The week after Jack Reacher,
right.
We were going to do Inferno, and scheduling conflicts kind of made that a hassle. And then it turned out that Inferno wasn't worth the hassle anyway.
I'm still going to see it, though, but I don't
know. So, I mean.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen it.
I
saw it not in the theater, but I saw it. Yeah, it's not great.
It's not that great.
But, you know, I'm not invested either.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
I didn't watch previous movies and go, ooh, this is awesome.
Right.
I can't wait for Inferno.
Dr. Langdon thing, yeah.
And I never read any of the books. I started reading the first book when the first movie came out.
Right.
And, you know, it really couldn't keep me going. I don't know. There's something about the book and the movie, actually, that it's too interested in itself for me. It's
There's a thing where Dan Brown really likes writing because there's an awful lot of research that he, I would assume, had to do in order to do any of the books that he did.
Yeah.
And
he
really likes making sure, you know, he's done it.
Right.
Like, you're going to learn with him. Like, there's some reading rainbow stuff going on there.
Anyway, but we won't cover that.
It was that bad.
You didn't see it.
I mean, I don't care. I'm still gonna. I read the book. I'm still gonna see it.
It's
below five.
Yeah. It's. Ooh, I would say probably like 2.5, 3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's and nobody went to see
this
it anyway,
not,
so
no surprising.
One can, no one can contradict me.
The reviews that I've seen without reading them have all been like 3.5. Like they're pretty hard. So that's rough.
And this one, even more than the other ones, it seems like so wildly on a tangent.
Yeah.
This book seems like, and you know, all the Dan Brown fans can email and hate us and whatever.
Right.
This movie feels almost like, you know, the Five Obstructions, the movie, The Five Obstructions.
Yeah.
Where, for people who don't know, who are listening to us, where, you know, two directors, I'm not going to go into the whole story
the whole
of the movie, but two directors keep making the same movie over and over again, and they keep kind of like trying to one up these weird hindrance bets of how you have to make the same movie. And so the same story, the same movie just keeps getting made over and over again, and you know, with different weird things thrown in,
right?
And
right.
It's like, okay, but now you have to do it, and you know, whatever. People can only talk and rhyme, or, you know, like that's not it, but whatever. And this movie feels almost like a bet movie. Like, this movie feels like Dan Brown's got some friends who are interested in his stuff as well.
Right.
And he goes, okay, but in this movie, right now, now it's like Amnesia, right? Throw in Amnesia.
Yeah.
There has to be this and this, and I bet you can't do it or whatever.
Right.
You know, it's like one of those things. It just feels weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
remember that Steve Martin film where he was the preacher and he had a crew, and every week they put a fake word and he's had to work it into his sermon.
Yeah.
One of them was like hippopotamus.
Right.
And they all bet like that. I love that idea. You know, because sometimes stories feel like that. They're like, put in a big spider. And they're like, it's a love story, man.
I know.
Like, it's got to be a tarantula. You know. So
anyway,
well, that's too bad.
But. You know, there is, even in all those movies, there's like a certain amount of fun to the general theory of just exploring the kookiness or whatever. But no, that one didn't work for me. So anyway, this week, what we're actually doing, now that we're completely off track here, Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, basically the movie that inspired us to skip a week, which is kind of a new thing for
us,
right?
That's a rare thing.
Even, and it's funny because it's the it's the exact right kind of bad, right? If it was the next worst movie we'd ever seen, we'd still want to do it.
Right.
Then
right.
we'd go, I got some stuff to say about that movie, right? Yeah. Or, you know, whatever. The next movie following this summer of hatred, then we'd want to do it. But this movie, I don't know. Like, we walked out of this movie and we were like, I don't know.
Well, I remember saying it's so weirdly boring.
I have never
said this in all the dog films you've made me go see.
Right.
I remember telling you, like, we should maybe skip a week. I mean, in 10 minutes, I'm done.
Right.
Like, how are we going to fill an hour? We don't always have to do an hour. I mean,
because
oddly
enough, there's just kind of nothing to say about
it. I mean,
we could rail
on it. And I feel like now that I remember we're doing it. I feel like it's going to be easy.
And you're accessing your notes.
I feel like it'll be easy to disseminate it a little bit because of how much I loved the first one. And I can compare and contrast that pretty easily without going too in depth. But yeah, that was a bummer because I don't really remember. I've seen some
You've forgotten a lot of that movie already.
I've seen some really bad films, but even in those bad films, I always saw a lot to talk about. You know, why films fail, why they take these risks, why this didn't take any risks, and that's why it failed. And I just was so like, I wasn't deflated. I wasn't super disappointed, though I actually had more expectations for it because I told you I had seen the original Jack Reacher, and then like, the night before, or 2 days before we went to go see it, I popped it in and I loved it.
Right.
Like, I was over the moon about it.
And you were coming
now,
to the theater going,
I was like,
the second
be,
one's
this
coming?
This is going to be great now. This should be really fun. No, I was more amped up about it, thinking that it's probably dangerous because a lot of the creative people in the original were no longer there.
Exactly.
That hurts.
Right. So, that's anyway, we'll get into that movie. But then also Doctor Strange,
which is the big thing.
Which very big movie.
And
it's doing great.
Great. I mean, that's huge.
It's doing great, but also, you know, it's Marvel.
It's gonna
do really well.
Right.
It's like you know, when Fantastic Beasts come out, it's not gonna be a surprise. It's gonna do good. Although what I heard this week is the tracking on this movie, which God knows what the hell that means, except that it comes out every week, like the tracking on the movie, right? It's like the you know, election poll of movies, right?
Right.
The tracking on that movie are saying people are talking about how that is not expected to do as well as any other Harry Potter movie. Like, it oddly enough, people are kind of going, yeah.
And I feel
I think is just bizarre.
It is bizarre. I feel a little bad for it. Only in this aspect. There's no reason it should. You know, when the first one came out, there was already a fervor about the whole thing, and then just seeing it come to life was fine.
Right.
Then every film after, you know, you just snowball more fans, or they love Dan, or they're all into, you know, Emma or whoever. They're into the world. This doesn't have any of them.
It doesn't even have a book.
And it does right. So it's really just like in that world, this could happen, and this is in the background line, and it realistically shouldn't do that well. And Eddie Redmayne needs a hit.
Right.
This guy needs something big, or he's going to be in Jupiter Ascending.
But you know, it looks good though.
It does look fun.
The trailers and
the little
clips and stuff that you see of it actually looks really good. And I really kind of love the whole, you know, it's sort of prequel in some sense, right? It takes place way before.
Yep.
But I love the whole, like, you know, infiltrating America sort of.
Me too.
You know, that it's going that route, and then it's, you know, there's going to be this war or whatever, but it's it gets to be like a fantasy and a period piece.
Yep.
And have a bunch of stuff to say about like Britain versus America as far as like how you govern things and how the wizards govern themselves, how the American schools work, whatever.
That sounds fun.
It all looks really fun. And Johnny Depp is in the second one. Just announced this week that
I didn't see that. That's cool.
Johnny Depp is starring in the second one.
You know what's funny? So. Somebody asked me about it and I really had to pause for a second because two people who are in it really make me nervous about any movie they're in. Eddie Redmayne, again, who I loved in The Theory of Everything, but everything since then I felt was horrible.
Yeah.
Like he's actually overacting and just badly cast or badly choosing things. And Colin Farrell, who I used to really like seeing in things,
yeah.
But everything he's been in has been bad, and I feel like in some way, again, I don't feel like he's cast in the right roles. Like I feel like he's a talented guy. He's just not in his spot.
He was a lot better 15 or 20 years ago.
I love him in things like Minority Report, which is like supporting character, you know, or even SWAT, which is disposable as it is. But I can watch that movie with him in the lead. But when he's doing something like this and I see it and I go, man, just do it. Be good.
He's hit or miss. He can be right now, yeah. the last decade or so, he can be very hit or miss. He's still been good and stuff.
I mean,
but he's also, you know, he doesn't instantly sell you.
Right.
Like if he's in it, you don't go, all right.
And I'll still go see Johnny Depp in a lot of stuff, but he's real weird about his choices now and his performances. Like I'm not as reliably sold on his stuff as I was.
Right.
And as I was just recently, just a few years ago.
Yeah. So, yeah. I used to be,
but I think that film should get some slack because it's just, there's no way it can, I mean, just because J.K. Rowling's name is on it, I guess that's enough.
Right.
But I was with you. I thought that the spot that I saw looked good.
Yeah.
Like, kind of interesting.
It looks like a lot of fun. So
we'll see. That's pretty quick.
Anyway, yeah, that is.
It's so weird.
Coming
this is
right
like,
up.
Stuff
it's
is already
the end of the year.
Up. We're only a few weeks away from Rogue One.
I don't even want to hear it.
Okay.
It's too much
all
for
right.
me, right?
I get it.
Rogue One also scary. Very nervous about that movie, right?
Very.
Anyway, okay, so we got two movies to do, and even though we've already proclaimed our defiance of Jack Reacher, we
should hit it.
Better jump into them.
Yeah,
so Jack Reacher, awesome. Never Go Back, Tom Cruise movie, what's her name?
Kobe Smulders?
Yeah, yeah. I was losing her name.
It. Yeah.
And I knew I was going to get it wrong, so I wasn't going to say something, right?
Right.
Anyway, but everybody knows who she is without necessarily knowing who she is because you know, she's been in all sorts of Marvel, you know,
and
Avengers.
How
and
I met her. If you don't know her from TV, you know her from movies. It's like she's got a weird crossover. Yeah.
Yeah. She made the big leap from How I Met Your Mother.
Right.
And all of a sudden was in all these Marvel movies. Anyway.
Yeah.
But it is, he's just still Jack Reacher. Right.
Right.
And person in the army, basically, the beginning trailer where you see that scene of the phone's gonna ring and that is him working with her basically to get this sheriff who is doing stuff he shouldn't,
know,
and it happens to be that he's doing it on army owned land or whatever.
Right.
So now it's a different kind of crime and the army can come after you, whatever.
Yeah.
And so he, takes a trip to DC to see her. And then, this is on the trailer too, that, you know, now suddenly she's been arrested.
Right.
Now Jack Reacher has to find out what's going on. And the whole thing is there and hilarity ensues and lots of fun actiony stuff. And we have to throw a kid in.
Yeah, right.
So at one point, you know, the either the army
or the
actual bad guys
don't
want Jack Reacher looking into the investigation or both. Maybe
sure,
it's
both.
Right. And so they try to dissuade him in any way they can. So they show up with this thing where someone, I guess, petition to the army to get child support for their kid that they claim is his, whatever. So then he has to go find the kid because otherwise, how are the villains going to use that against him later?
Right.
and that's what happens. And it's who's crooked and who's not crooked and who's in the army taking money and, you know, how did these people get killed and Dan or whatever.
Right.
And early on, they're on the run from the military police as well. So they're on the run from everyone.
Right.
And, you know, he has to Jack Reacher his way out of it. Right.
Right.
And that's the movie.
That's the movie.
You know, there were a lot of parts of this movie that I had some fun with. Right. And there were a lot of parts of it that I hated and were really boring. At
right.
the at the end of the final analysis, right, I am like 3.5. It was
I had you close.
There were parts that I liked.
I had you at 4.
There were parts that I liked and there were parts that I hated. And
yeah.
And I think the main thing that even let me be as high as 3.5 is that at a certain point I kind of wrote the movie off and the fun stuff was just fun.
Just fun.
So
right.
Because otherwise it would have been like 1.
Right.
I mean, if the movie, you know, we frequently say about movies that the movie is trying to be too serious.
Yeah.
And so it won't really let you just see it as like a fun movie because every once in a while there's a big pause where somebody gives you a speech about how you're supposed to feel about crap and
right.
whatever. And then it's all very dramatic and serious. And if it had been that movie, it would have been 1.
Right.
Because it
right.
gets so much stuff wrong that yeah. it can't force me to look at it through that lens
right.
or else it suffers the consequences, right? That
right.
I'm not going to give it any slack about anything.
Right.
But there was a certain amount of fun stuff and almost every part of the movie where it's just those two on screen, I actually really kind of like
Cruz and Kobe.
Yeah.
Kobe,
yeah.
Yeah.
When,
right.
when those
they have good chemistry together,
when those two are just kind of doing their thing.
Right.
Or when it's mostly just him.
Yeah. I think
everything that happened with his daughter was pointless and didn't really get anything that it was trying to get. It's trying to do this whole, now we have to throw like dadness into this character and none of it worked. And every bit of that watch just felt so false because only his hair was the bad guy.
It doesn't matter whether it's The Last Boy Scout, which I love anyway, or any film, you know, like where the cop or
the Last Boy Scout is a great movie.
I know. I'm always going to defend The Last Boy Scout because I love it. But as soon as you see that Bruce Willis has a daughter, you
right.
know the end of the movie. Right?
Right.
I'm like, I don't even have to. I'm going to watch, but I don't have to. I agree with so much of what you said, especially that despite feeling, I give it a 4, which I feel like is just below average, not just because it's a sequel, but just below average for a film like this. You know, it's just kind of like a weird, surprisingly good action film that gets a sequel because it was so well received. And I told you when we first walked out that it reminded me more of anything than Taken, you know, with Liam Neeson.
Right.
I told you how fun and engaging and smart and quickly paced person was. So that when they made a sequel, I would see it no matter what. But the daughter is more involved
right.
and his story isn't as interesting or as tight. And it's just, and the one which becomes more obvious.
Right.
I mean, not there's no secret misogyny. But when I watched Jack Reacher, which I, you know, in my notes, I gave like a 9. I had so much fun with it.
Right.
And it was maybe the perfect night to watch a film like that. But every single thing that I feel Tom Cruise is good at, Jack Reacher, the first one, turned it up to 11 and just made him do it. And
right.
he just did it on his own. And he was so charismatic and engaging. And the story was fun and believable to a point where, in this environment, if there's this guy and he is this good at this thing, these are the things that will obviously happen to him. And I enjoyed even just the coyness of the story very much. The second film seemed to rely on a lot of stuff that just didn't need to be there, except we don't have a good idea. You know,
right.
like there were a couple scenes where I did like his interaction with his daughter, mostly in the hotel where he's trying to learn how to be a dad. And, you know, she's like, well, I used the credit card. And he's like, don't ever do that. You don't ever do that. You know, there are these fun surrogate parenting things that are going on. But then I came to realize I only liked them because they're bookended by scenes that suck.
Right.
You know? And all it does
right.
is elevate it a little bit, you
right.
know? And I'm like, that's not good enough. But I really still like Tom Cruise in this film. Though it's not enough to propel it above average, but he's still really good at what he's doing because he's charismatic and he can play these guys left and right. And Kobe Smulders she can hold her own with him. And the scenes where she literally does hold her own with him, and the dialogue they have back and forth, militarily and sexist, you know, argumentative stuff, I thought played real well. And I think that's because of both of them, not necessarily.
I think mostly it did, but I think there were a couple times
where
there was one where it went on this weird feminine.
Yeah.
I don't know it. They're in the hotel and they're arguing with each other. And for me, it was really off-putting to have this very odd, like, feminist spin that we, like, just want to say things because, you know, this is like writing a movie because I want other people to think that I'm cool because I made a character say this.
Right.
And it's like, what?
This is
and,
the one where he says, "You're not mad. I treated you like a woman."
It's really the whole thing, before that when they have the argument about it.
The argument
when she's like, "I'm going to go. You're not going." And it's Jack Reacher. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but if you can't kick his ass, then he's going after the bad guy.
Right.
It doesn't matter that you're a woman.
No.
If you're a guy and you can't kick his ass, you're not the one who goes, right? He's Mr. Super Badass.
Right.
Actually, in this movie, he's kind of not. In the first movie, he was.
He was a lethal weapon, you know.
The guy from the first movie, and then going into this movie, all of a sudden, this movie does, like, one of the things that, you know, I really hate about movies, unless I'm watching a really old movie, and it's, like, sort of the pseudo-camp of the time when they would film fight scenes like that, and you're in a saloon and everyone's getting hit over the head with a bottle, and it's not given to you because this is supposed to be an absolutely accurate representation of fight scenes,
right?
It's just because this is, like, that's what they're doing. It's like watching a play and people are, you know, acting on stage is
and
a
they
different
move in
thing
circles they would never
because
move,
we overdo it and whatever. But in a, you know, in a modern movie, especially coming off of the first movie, now we go into this movie and there are, like, long, drawn out fight scenes, and it's like people might as well get hit over the head with a frying pan like four or five times and then just still go, "Ugh, that kind of hurt," get back up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? Why is that what we're doing in this movie? But
you know what's funny? After Never Go Back, which seems like such an easy.
Really a bad title.
Really just a joke to make. I don't even know if that's
innocent. It's like this movie was a bet, too.
So after seeing the second movie, did it only reinforce a suggestion to watch the first if you've never seen it? And just appreciate, like, the storytelling. Because the story in the first, as I watched the second, I'm like, man, there's ways you can pick this up, but you got to do it quick.
Right.
And then it just seemed to go for, like, the easy drive through, you know, instead of really sitting down and going through a character idea and a narrative, it just went for the easy stuff. And it just, it gets reflected. It shows.
There's a lot of the stuff in this movie that is, you know, so, like, Hollywood standard paint by numbers, how we make a movie, which is the opposite of the first one.
Right.
And really this movie, it's kind of mind-boggling. Like, these two movies together should be like required viewing in film school, right? Like, you'd have to watch both of them, because the second one just kind of takes everything that you loved about the first one, everything that was a little bit different and you don't see every day, and made everything really fun, and goes, well, let's do the opposite of that.
Right. Yeah.
And you're like, what?
Like, it's funny, because I know they're based on the books,
right?
You know, in the series of the Jack Reacher books. You've said this a lot, and I actually realized it when we were watching it. I forgot it until just now. It really feels like someone wanted to tell this story. They just threw Jack Reacher's name on it. Like, instead of telling a story about Batman, you know, we got to make it about spying and patriotism and all these things. You get mad at that stuff. Like, why do you even have Batman in it? Just tell the story. This felt like we had an existing story. Now let's just put Jack Reacher as the guy and make this fit. And it just also, maybe if it had been one small thing, but it felt like there were like nine different changes that I didn't wholly believe would have been in the first movie's universe, but now I have to accept in the second movie's universe. And then it just didn't work.
And then it just does a bunch of things that are kind of odd. This is, you know, standard goofy storytelling. Yeah. You know, the bad guy has to basically be a psychopath.
Always, yeah.
Right? Like, he doesn't have to be, because otherwise right. we don't get the big end.
Right.
And if we don't do that, we really negate the daughter altogether, yep. right? And then we didn't need her in the first place. So right. we're locked into doing that yeah. because we had the idea and yeah. started with the daughter. So there's no getting around that. And it was so bad, you know, compared to the first movie, right? The first movie didn't just go, I don't know, what's the, like a goofy thing we could throw in now that, right. you know, it's like, yeah. it's so like odd Scooby-Doo writing, right? Yeah. I mean, when you really? Have a movie working in a certain way, then you make a sequel and just start on this road of, I'm going to just throw in a bunch of goofy cliches. I'm going to throw in all the
yeah.
dumbass things action movies do all the time.
All
you
the
know,
time, right.
The running away girl's going to trip on a root or,
yeah,
I
right.
mean, it's so much of it just felt so lazy.
And there's always a super parade in New Orleans whenever you need to run into a right. crowd. You know, you run right. around a corner, if there's a big parade right. and they all look like you.
It's you know? Weird when like, people, it's weird when people are going to, you know, actually go there, right?
Right, and they see
and go,
empty streets.
What
and
the hell?
Like, where's my big parade? Where's my voodoo, you know, funeral?
There's a parade every day.
And
right?
you would expect if you lived there, you would hear footfalls on your you know, roof all the time, because apparently it's very easy to get on every roof.
Right, no one's
across town,
and no one's ever slept.
You know,
right?
no one's ever slept. I mean, it's just a lot of these things, you know, and it's strange because in a way that might make for a really fun movie, but not,
but there,
not this
but
one.
There still are the fun parts of,
just enough peppered in.
If we pay any attention to his character, yeah. really, then it's not bad,
right.
which is so weird because the first movie that, you know, that's one of the main things that the first movie rocked was the
yeah.
first movie was just, I don't know if there's a story. I'm just going to look at this character,
right?
I mean, it was, and
sure.
then it was like,
yeah.
what would he actually do? So here's something that happens, and
yep.
what do I actually think that guy would do? Not what do I have to make him do because
right.
I have some other step that we have to get to, or, you know, whatever. It's just a really well-written story,
yeah. yep.
and it was fun and different, and it didn't have all of this, you know, I have to do this because this is what always happens in action movies,
right?
You know,
that feel, and that one, and it felt like Never Go Back really had too much of that,
right?
So,
and you know, like you said, with that title, it really feels like a bet.
Somebody
bet
right.
somebody,
and I gotta say, go back, but only go back to the first one. I could watch that today,
right?
I could watch that one again,
right.
and not just like scenes, but like there, that's a film where I would enjoy the whole thing.
And it's really bizarre that, you know, you mentioned like this movie, Taken,
yeah,
all these movies that are kind of surprisingly fun. Even, you know, I'm really scared of John Wick 2 now because
yeah,
John Wick is in the
so
same boat.
Fun.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
If we would just spend that energy come
right.
finding the other new
man, you're right.
fun story instead of sequel after sequel that we're not going to
yeah.
pay any attention to, we're not going to really invest in or try to get a good story. We're just going to see who we can get to sign
yeah.
on.
And I keep forgetting
whatever.
About John Wick 2 and how much fun that was just watching that unfold, thinking it's just another Keanu action film.
Right.
You know, it's going to be more like Deep Rain.
That first
something.
Movie was
That's
really surprising.
A blast how much fun it was.
Yeah.
And to me, again, maybe I saw it at the right moment, just the gun violence. Just like the ballet of violence,
right,
it was
right.
it made me think of old John Woo movies that I used to love, twirling things, and
right,
you know,
right.
it was just so much fun. And he just did enough to make that character work, and the story was fast and it was on point, didn't distract itself.
Right.
Maybe if this is going to be like that, then I'm right in line for the third Wick, you know. But
yeah, but I'm scared.
I'm a little
because you have to be
too.
Scared about sequels anyway.
Sure.
All right, so. Without, you know, further babbling about this movie that neither
yeah.
one of us liked,
yeah.
Doctor Strange.
Right.
So Benedict Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And I think from all of the trailers and all of the TV spots, and this one has, you know, obviously had a gigantic marketing push, right? Everybody knows the
sure.
general premise, right?
Yeah.
Even if people were not real familiar 6 months ago with who Doctor Strange
and
was or
weren't.
Why he gets a movie,
right?
Right. He was a surgeon. He's like super surgeon guy,
right?
Right? He's fantastically rich because he does things that almost no one else can do,
yeah.
if not absolutely no one else can do. And he does fantastic, insane surgeries on people. And so he's super rich and he's really kind of a arrogant jackass about it.
Yep.
And thinks that he's really cool. And then he's in a car accident,
yep.
where he more or less loses he doesn't lose like the use of his hands, but he loses the use of his hands to the extent that he can't do his crazy surgery
yeah, right.
anymore. And he tries to find out how to get himself fixed. And obviously he goes into this, downward spiral,
right.
of hating life and getting surgery after surgery and nothing helps. And he finally finds his way to the Ancient One, which you see in the trailers,
right.
and he gets knocked out of his body,
yeah.
is like oddly one of the first things that happens in the trailer, so it's like we know right where we are, right?
Yeah, right.
And he discovers that there's this whole other world that nobody knows about, and all the mysteries of whatever, right? and then hilarity ensues.
Right.
And there's these, it's all of these multiple dimensions, and it's really the craziest Marvel movie that we've had so far. It's the weirdest.
I think it even beats Guardians.
Kind
easily,
of.
Like,
yeah.
In that realm.
It's
it
the,
really
it's
is.
It's the weirdest, like nutty
yeah.
theory of what's happening
right.
in the world of any Marvel movie. And there's, there's the dark realm that's that some evil being
yeah.
is trying to take over all the other universes and whatever the hell. And it's it's your standard, the whole planet is gonna die, except
always.
Taking to like
right.
new
yeah.
extremes,
right?
It's not even the whole universe, it's the whole multiple
yeah.
universes
multiverse
and everything,
yeah.
right? And so he, he starts training to be basically a wizard, except that, this is the school's been going on for eons or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, the Ancient One is like, if you don't want to call it magic or spells
yeah.
or whatever,
sure.
if that makes
yeah.
you feel better, then don't call it spells.
Yeah.
But
right.
And he learns how to use his power, but he really doesn't. I mean, actually, he's there for a long time. There's a weird time thing in this movie,
yeah.
Actually, because he's clearly there for a really long time. But then we're talking about then the, shit hits the fan.
Right.
And
right.
and he's not ready because he hasn't studied long enough.
Yeah.
But not only has he been there for a long time, but then also the movie keeps telling us that he basically learns everything instantly.
Right.
He's got a photographic memory. He reads all these books. He goes back to the library of the magical place.
Yeah.
With a big stack of books and the
Wong.
The person
yeah.
teaching him,
yeah.
right, Wong, is like, you read all these books?
Yeah.
And they do it in a way like, everyone else who's had all those books, it took them like 14 years to
right.
read all those books
right.
or whatever.
He almost is like, you didn't like these or you couldn't keep up.
Right.
I
right.
can get you a picture book.
Right.
Like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so he's apparently learning super fast.
Right.
But not fast enough, I guess. Even,
right.
even
right.
though he's been there for ages.
And he's
I don't know. He's been there for like years. I don't know. He's been there for a long
it's weird.
Time.
They don't really. Yeah.
They don't
there's
say
a hint of it. Like with the emails that he sends and you get later.
And how him. Often he shaves his beard.
Right.
And,
right. And you understand that it's an extended amount of time. But yeah, you're right. That's a weird thing. They don't really come out and say like, well, time for your 3-year test.
Right.
They don't do anything like that.
So. And so you just kind of get like this highlight reel of his time there.
Yeah.
Because they show you a few certain things that happen while he's there. But did that happen on day 3 or,
right.
month 10 or whatever?
Right.
You don't know. It just goes through this whole thing. And then, then we get to the point where there's a bad guy pretty early on. Who was a student and then, pretty quickly the whole thing Star Wars is your ass into submission, right? Because it's the you know, the guy, I mean, and it happens quickly, which I thought was weird, because it's going to happen, I guess, but it happens very quickly. You know, the Ancient One is going, well, we lost that student to the dark side. And I'm like, wait, what? And then he's trying to, it's odd because I feel like this movie could have spent more time, diving into the weird theory of how this guy shifts.
Right.
Because it's very hard to understand if you don't take a lot of time to do it. Anyway, we're totally babbling about this movie and haven't given our ratings yet.
Right.
So we got to jump in and throw this out.
I'm close with this.
Yeah. So ultimately, I wanted to like this movie a lot more than I actually liked it.
Yeah.
I really wanted to like this movie because I actually really liked Doctor Strange.
Yeah, the comic, the story.
Yeah. And I'm not like a super fan of Doctor Strange.
Right.
Like I've read every comic or whatever. And when I thought about it after seeing the movie, probably haven't actually read that many.
Right.
But I really like the character, though. Anyway, I really wanted this to be really good. And at the end of the day, all I could give this was 6.5.
Yeah, I was right. That's pretty cool.
It just had a lot of potential that I felt like it kind of left sitting there. And it had a lot of stuff that the terrible thing I think this movie did for me as trying to come up with my rating was that it had action scenes I was bored with. It did actiony stuff that was boring. Like I didn't care. Right. I wasn't really into it because it was all of the action stuff seemed very stagey.
Yeah.
And it didn't give me enough, I think, you know, there were a lot of scenes with these bad guys, like pulling the dark sword out of thin air, whatever. And then we're fighting with the dark sword. This to me was a problem that I have in general with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Except that when it's Harry Potter, you know, who cares? When it's a Harry Potter movie, the problem I have is what happens when they fight each other. And what they can do when they're not fighting each other, right?
Okay.
And I have the same problem with Harry Potter, right? Because when wizards fight each other, whether it's in this movie or Harry Potter,
right,
it's really kind of goofy and silly and waving wands at each other and attacking each other with swords.
Right.
Like we're wizards who can do all this all-powerful crap, and yet we're still just fighting
slashing
with swords, right?
Yeah.
But when we're not fighting, I mean, they can do anything, right? I mean, they can do literally in this movie, they
can
do everything.
Right.
They could change the whole world.
Right.
They can do whatever they want. And yet they get in a fight and they just start stabbing each other with swords.
Right.
Nobody, to a certain extent, it's kind of like early-ish Star Wars stuff too, where, you know, no one's using the damn force and just throwing shit everywhere. And, why am I shooting at this guy? Why don't I just have the earth swallow him or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And in this movie, it really kind of hit me. Like I couldn't avoid it. Right. It just seemed so weird. And even though they do some of it a little bit, like, Doctor Strange's first fight with this bad guy and he starts moving the floors and doing stuff like that. But still, I don't know. It just was weird. It's not like anything that kills the whole movie or anything, but it's an odd thing that made it for me where, you know, the point being that there were these action scenes that I was like, I just can't really get myself involved in this because I don't know. Why is this what's happening? It was weird. Anyway,
I gave it a 7 and I'm almost exactly where you are with, and it's funny trying to remember or jotting down all the things that I wanted to say, and you hit several of them. You know, it's easy to, but this is a very favorable 7 in my way of looking at the film because I had fun with it.
Yeah, it is. And, it is still fun.
But and trying to work backwards a little bit from all the stuff that I was thinking of saying that you beat me to a few of them. You know, Benedict Cumberbatch is great. The cast is great for the most part, all the way through. Mads doesn't have really a whole lot to do except you know, show the weird
glare at
you,
you
know, and
yeah.
do things. But he doesn't really do a whole lot anyway when he's in anything. Like,
right.
he's got one facial expression almost all the time, and it's usually ominous.
Right.
So that's why he's the bad guy. But he services okay in this. The problem with the film isn't his performance, is that we don't know anything about him, except the laziness in some way of the film is that part of what disengages me and might engage someone really young is I've seen an awful lot of movies and TV shows and read a lot of comics and books. And if you're really lazy about telling me that this is a bad guy and he went to the dark side, I have seen so many stories about guys that did that. I can fill in all the lazy stuff that you refuse to show me.
Right.
And I'm doing all the heavy work for you.
And it feels like that's not on accident. That's
right.
like a choice the movie made
right.
is that the movie just can go, he was a student, he went to the dark side. You know what that's
right. I was
about,
just going to say,
right?
You know.
Right. Exactly.
You know. Okay. And then one of the things that's really bothersome to me about the movie is, despite the characters being interesting and engaging and servicing something that hadn't happened for a long time, but Marvel has been doing left and right with great success, is taking characters. I was a comic book kid. I'm a comic book guy.
Right.
Taking characters I didn't really care about and spending a really interesting light on them so much that I just want to go read some comics about them.
Right.
When Iron Man came out, I couldn't imagine anybody could make a film that I would care about with Iron Man. I never cared about Iron Man.
Right.
But what happened was it certainly is Jon Favreau's purview, and he deserves a lot of the credit for it. But it's, you know, it's Robert Downey Jr. You know, he's the reason. And in that regard, this is so much like Iron Man to me, because there's similarities with Stephen Strange, Doctor Strange, and Tony Stark. You know, they're the wisecracking genius billionaire. He's not a billionaire, but he's very affluent. And he's real capable and confident. And then he's shattered and taken away all of his personal strengths. He has to rebuild himself as a character and become this other persona. You don't know which movie I'm talking about there. It could
right,
be either
right.
or. One of the things that's really frustrating is the pacing of this film. I swear, and I haven't seen it in a long time. You might remember. Isn't it like 40 or 45 minutes in to the first Iron Man movie, and he's still figuring out how to be Iron Man?
Yeah, yeah. It goes a long way.
And
yeah.
normally, and I know, and I respect when you say this, like, I never have to see Bruce Wayne's parents get killed. We don't have to see Spider-Man get bit and learn that, you know, we've seen that a lot. Just show it. Go.
Right.
In this instance, where Doctor Strange is as new to people, most people, as Iron Man was, though he was more in the consciousness of things, he graduates like in the 30th minute of the movie. Like, I see a few shaky hand things. I see some struggle. I see attempts to convey the time, like what you're suggesting, not suggesting, what you're saying correctly is, like, we don't even know how long he was there. One of the things that I thought they did effectively to show that was he's sleeping and astrally reading the book.
Right.
You get that he's doing that every night. So even though he's resting, he's learning almost, you are to assume, 24 hours a day.
Right.
Right. right? And with his gifts of, you know, remembering everything and practicing everything. And again, on the heels of Tilda Swinton saying, you know, how did you get to be a doctor? You know, you studied and you practiced a lot. Yet still, in 3 weeks, it looks like he's graduated and he's fighting like Darth Vader.
Right.
Like, there were weird things here that I started not liking, which was how fast it went to get him to scenes that I didn't want to see as badly as I wanted the character to show. All of these big action scenes that you see in the trailer with the world folding in and around itself and the floor doing things and the ceilings doing things, that's great stuff. And in a weird way, I'm kind of glad we didn't see that in 3D. I know a lot of people are saying this is a 3D masterpiece, and I bet it probably is beautiful, but I think sometimes too much is too much. And I
right.
bet that would have been overwhelming or distracting in a way, you know? So we saw it. We saw it in standard definition. But, you know, this rush to get him to do these things comes at a price where I would have gladly taken half of that special effects stuff throughout the whole film away for more story
right.
about him. I mean, Rachel McAdams is in it, but anyone could have been that girlfriend. It's nice to see her.
Yeah,
in it,
she's not in it very much.
She doesn't have to do anything except a couple things, which are very Rachel-ish, you know,
right.
to her. But when you have when you have a great big story behind the Ancient One, and again, I've seen a lot of Ancient Ones, so
right.
I can fill in all the mysticism and things like you're part Dumbledore,
right, right,
you're
right.
part Gandalf, you're part who, you know, I get it. But don't make me do all the heavy work for your movie. Like, you've got so much time here, and this is not a short movie. And other films in your universe have taken the time to kind of expand on things, whether
right.
it's Captain America films or, you know, the Iron Man movies. The weird pacing and rush to get him into a special effects battle bored me, because though it was beautiful to see, the battles that they had later were only interesting because gravity flipped and they were jumping around, and that was fun and
right.
unpredictable.
And it was only interesting though for the special effects
but,
of it. It was like
exactly.
You know, why a roller coaster is interesting, right?
Sure.
There's
right.
no story
There's no to it. Right.
It's just
the experience of it. I like much more the first two special effects things we get when she punches him out of his body astrally,
right.
and then she sends him on that trip through time and space,
right.
and he sees things. Those were much more engaging because they were telling a story.
And the part where he goes back to Rachel McAdams to the hospital,
right.
and then he's like out of his body
yep.
and he's dying. I thought that whole scene
that was
great.
That
but
was
when
so great.
When that scene happens and it's like 3/4 of the way through the movie,
yeah.
that scene is almost like kind of distracting
right.
for being really good.
For being so good and
because,
so different.
Because
right.
you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. There are all kinds of things for me that, again, I love the performances. I like most of the story, too. I really love, though I'll follow your lead on this. I won't spoil the ending. But I love how the final conflict with the big interstellar bad guy
yeah.
and Doctor Strange gets played out. It's smart.
Right.
Fun.
Right. It was,
playful,
that was really
coy,
good. Yeah.
Clever, effective, bordering on kind of genius, because you're so used to him conjuring something or doing something, or there'll be some ghost in the machine spell that he just finally learns. And
right,
learned,
right.
He finally got his hand to quit twitching. You know,
right.
the way he defeats this opposition is so much fun. I just wish it had earned more to
yeah.
get to it. Because when we get to it, I'm actually a little disengaged because I'm just kind of like, okay, more weird 3D universe things going on. And that sucks because I know there was more to the story than we were being shown. But the flip side to that is one of the things that really bugged me about this is also where it fits in this universe. Like, it's easy to say, you know, we've been bringing up Harry Potter. It's probably the most famous wizarding story out there anyway. But when they introduced the Time Turner and realized that, you know, they could do all these things and they give it to a kid, my first reaction to that was, this is a huge mistake, because there's all kinds of things you would fix in this world if you could just turn back time. I know you don't want to meddle with the ethics and all these things. I don't care. People
right.
are fallible. You want your parents to still be alive? I can fix that.
Right.
The moment there's time in this and all these people rightly say, you don't want to mess with this, you know, there are problems. But then you start messing with it and you see that there's not that many problems, you know,
right.
then you just have to be an adjudicated person to figure it out. I start wondering about their role in the universe. Like, where were all these awesome people with all their magical powers when all this stuff in the Avengers was happening down
right,
the block?
Right.
Like, it expands that universe, but it also creates a big hole in explaining where they all were. I didn't expect the Ancient One to drive down, you know, to Fifth and Main and stand with the Hulk, but it certainly, they could have helped with some things
right.
in telling that story in a way that just causes me to think of more than they're telling me. And again, I should just review the movie at hand instead of all the what ifs.
Well,
and I am, but the movie at hand actually causes all of these what ifs to pop up. You know,
right.
I don't know if you had that.
I feel like this is also a giant gripe that I have all the, but I kind of especially have it with this movie because, you know, I'm just over the comic book superhero movie one after another being the destruction of
everything.
The
yeah,
planet,
right.
the
right.
universe, the multiverse.
Sure.
In this movie, it's even worse for me, except that I also like the ending, right?
I love that.
And you have to have this
yeah.
enemy to have that.
Yeah.
But I would have loved this movie a lot more if we didn't have the biggest, baddest thing in the entire universe that we were fighting, like, in the first movie, right? Like, the first Harry Potter book does not end with him defeating Voldemort, right? I mean, because then what? And then at the end of this movie, you know, they have to throw in this thing where they're like, oh, well, you know, the multiverse is going to be on notice now that we're weakened or something, and people will come because we want to have some opening to there being some other movie that will happen, right? But at the end, it's like, who?
Right.
Who's going to come now? I defeated, like, literally all evil in the universe. So who's gonna come? What happens now?
Right.
It's so far gone. Like, all the Marvel movies, I don't know what the actual origin of Doctor Strange is.
Yeah.
And so I have no idea if, like, you know, Doctor Strange number one, that's what actually happened.
Right.
And somehow we continue to have comic books and there are still more stories. But in the movie, it's just so horrible. I would way rather have him find some, you know, freaking medium problem to solve or something like as we step through things with Harry Potter, you know, Harry Potter does not kick off with him being 11 years old, defeating all the problems
of
the world,
and the problems become bigger.
And this, we could have spent more time on the character, on him, you know, growing and doing stuff and becoming who he supposedly ends up at the end of this movie anyway, just because we say so. And we could have had a lot more character development, and we could have just moved at, like, a better pace throughout the whole story. If it wasn't for the fact that, well, we have to defeat the multiverse's
evil
biggest problem that there is. It's like, it's like you literally can't have a worse problem.
Everything here on up. And later, when he joins up with more Avengers or more comic book characters, they should be in trouble, and he should just be like, look, just hold my cloak. I got this.
Don't exactly.
You know who I,
at this point, and he's only going to get stronger and more of this stuff. If cameos in Avengers movie or whatever it is, it can only be so that he'll show up and snap his fingers and the movie's over, I mean, he can do anything.
It would be awesome for him to just walk behind the scenes and see him snapping his finger, and then somebody goes, well, all right, I guess we got to meet up with the group again. And, you know, when he has to fight Cassilius the first time, and he is still, I mean, he's got latent power, I guess, and he's learning everything, but he is so wildly untrained. It should have been more like, you know, again, not to always be Harry Potter, but when Harry's chasing Snape, like, late in the story, and he's throwing spells at him, and he's just deflecting them, and he's like, look, don't even make me waste my wand. This is going to be bad for you if I have to pick this up. You know, and that there is an ability to not only take on, to expect, well-graduated into all this stuff, and they're very capable. But they're like some troops, anything. They fall, they're clumsy, they might hurt you a little, but you're going to get them. Though I liked that scene visually, it was important to show that he's learning, that he's courageous, and that he's willing to
And he
to
has to get his
thing.
Cave.
Which, by the way, and I'm blanking on the thing that bugged me about it, the cape protected him in, like, several attacks in that moment, kept him from going to things, was trying
showed
to show
him,
the right
showed
thing.
Him to the thing.
And then there were a couple times where the cape didn't protect him at all. It just let him get punched in the nuts a couple, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, no consistency here. Like, are
you have to pick. It's either an all-knowing magical cape or it's not.
There's fun humor, and sometimes the humor is a little weird and off, but most of the humor is effective between the characters, like the stuff with Wong. Like, that actually builds up later to be very fun, and their relationship works.
And then at the end of the movie, the thing with Wong at the end of the movie, I'm like, see how you know how to do things?
That's I was just going to say.
And yet you refuse in
there
so
are
many
times,
other places.
Times when you could have done better. And it almost feels like, you know, in a strange way, when they knew they had Robert Downey Jr., after they didn't want him, and then they screen tested him, and they realized, wow, this is actually the guy. He's got this. Your story was a reflection of how good he was in it, because he could do whatever you needed. because he was a character and he could build that. It almost felt like in this, though, they have like a, you know, Stark light, but Strange is different, but he's kind of the same kind of guy. They didn't trust him and they didn't trust the audience to believe his story would be interesting. So what we're going to do is we're going to throw a lot of special effects at you. We're right. going to make the special effects be the reason come see it, because what everyone will say,
they were so nervous because no one knew who it was
right.
at all.
And they
the
forgot
yeah,
that
yeah.
nobody knew who,
yeah.
who Iron Man was and no one cared. I'm sorry. There were probably thousands of real diehard Iron Man fans and they probably were mad that Robert Downey was the guy, but nobody cared.
Right.
And they flipped it. And I swear what they're hoping is they're going to get people going up to guys and be like, "Hey man, this is trippy. You've got to see this film for all this stuff." Not he's great. Story's
right, right.
great. Like they're selling this and hoping the gravity of the movie exists on something that shouldn't necessarily be a big draw. And for me, and I think it sounds like for you, it actually was a detriment. It pulled the movie down a bit for me that they concentrated so much on it and they didn't realize what a great goldmine they've got. Benedict Cumberbatch is great anyway.
He's
good in this. He's really good in this.
He's good, but he could be so much better
yep.
in this movie than he had a chance to be.
Right.
Because
give it to him.
He is really good
he
in
is.
Everything that
he
I haven't seen.
I haven't seen him in Bad Thing yet.
I haven't
Tell
seen
me, you know?
Anything that he's been in that I didn't really like him.
Yeah.
I might not have loved The Thing.
Right. But
right? him. But
him
he in
great.
In Sherlock, in that,
sure.
What's that movie with the crack in the code with
the
giant
game.
Machine? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's
God,
great,
he was fantastic.
He's so good as Alan Turing.
That. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I feel like they just didn't trust him, or who knows whether a test audience thought, well,
they're just,
you know.
They were just weirdly scared of this movie. And
yeah.
we are getting kind of close
right.
on time. And I do want to say, though,
I still think you should see it.
It is. I feel like this is a very weird place that like the whole superhero movie world is in.
Right.
Like right now for like the next like 4 months or whatever
yes,
it is.
Right.
There's this movie, Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Logan.
Yeah.
By next summer, it's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yep.
And I think this time right now with these three movies is really going to kind of determine how things are going to
yeah.
work for the next, like at least 3 or 4 years.
Right.
Because
yeah.
if they can't take these movies that are very different,
yep.
right? Like Iron Man was great. The first Captain America movie was great. They're kind of different, but they still,
right.
they were so hard on story.
Yeah.
They were really, really story. And I feel like even though the Avengers was really good, the first Avengers was really good,
yeah.
but I feel like that movie still was like taking like a little bit of a step back on being about story.
Right.
Right. And it's kind of moved in that direction.
Yeah.
And now you got these three movies. You got Logan, where it's like a superhero movie without any superheroes.
Yeah.
And it like it's X-Men without any mutants. And it's a very strange kind of, you know, post-apocalyptic X-Men
right.
thing where everyone's old and Logan has scars everywhere and gets hurt. And
right.
it's you better be serious about your story.
Right.
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 And I don't think this one nailed anything. And if they can't keep moving in a direction that is going to work,
right.
they got a lot of like,
yeah,
they got a lot of shit
lot
coming
of
down the pipe
yeah.
that is going to be in trouble. If they,
yeah.
if they can't like
it,
massively win people over. Sure. Everyone went to this
yeah.
because everyone's going to, right. Whether it's good or not, this is going to make a ton of money.
Yeah.
But when people leave this movie, you know, how hyped are they for the
right.
next one
right.
or the next one or
yeah.
whatever? It's, you know, it could go weird.
I'm
really.
Hyped just because of Benedict. You know, his like you said, he's so great in everything. You know, the interesting thing is if I had a screener now or a copy of the film now, I wouldn't watch the whole thing.
Right.
I would have watched, and I did watch Iron Man. I watched Captain America. I watched The Avengers. Like those I watched and I was like, you know, I can watch it again.
Right.
Like the whole
right.
film. This is not a rewatch film. This is kind of like a highlight. I would skip a bunch of stuff just to get to some favorite things to see them again. And I think that says a bunch of stuff, but yeah, I still think go see it. You know, I would, even as a 7, I would say, yeah, I think you want to check this
yeah.
out. And the only other thing to suggest, cause we mentioned these things quick. I know we're getting out of here, but There are a couple bonus scenes. You know, there's one at the very end of the credits and one just as soon as the credits start. And I got to tell you the truth, the biggest mistake in that isn't that they put two, but they're out of order.
Right.
The first one needs to be the last one. If the first one is the last one, you actually leave feeling different.
It would be a lot better, you know, and it would be like a happy experience to have waited for it.
Yeah.
Because the second one, I think, the second one is a real dangerous zone, I think, for like I said, this whole, the whole superhero movie universe.
Yeah.
Because if that's going to be the next movie,
right,
I don't even want to watch it.
I don't need to. It's a
really, it's a really stupid idea. Yeah. And here again, I don't know if this is true to like Doctor Strange canon.
Yeah.
That this is a thing that happens.
Right.
But if it is,
right,
don't make a movie of it because it's goofy.
Like yeah. Yeah, we've said it all.
All right. Anyway, that's our time for today. We better take off.
Sure.
Thanks for tuning in. Next week.
What is next week? I'm usually like right up on it.
Yeah, I don't even know. It's not quite. It's a couple of weeks for Fantastic Beasts, I think.
Arrival.
A movie
I can't.
Suppose, yeah.
I mean, how can I not know that? I'm so psyched about Arrival.
Are you?
You're lying. I'm scared. I love Denis Villeneuve.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm super big on his stuff. I haven't seen any. I've seen one trailer. Just his name. His name is like enough to get me in there because I loved Prisoners so much.
Yeah.
And Sicario, like he's on a run for me.
This is a weird movie though that could go wrong big.
So many ways to make
this
it
could
bad.
Easily like be, you know, Jodie Foster Contact.
It could be like Chris Nolan's Interstellar. And I love Chris Nolan and I wasn't wild about Interstellar.
Right.
You know,
right.
This could be it, but I love this guy's work so much. I'm so curious about it.
Right.
So that's
all right.
That's
so next week, The Arrival. Thanks for tuning in. Please share, subscribe, rate us on iTunes, review us on iTunes, and otherwise trick your friends into listening to us. Thanks.
Bye.